If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, March 11th, 2022. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is Kotaku's Zach Zwizen. Zach, thank you so much for joining me.
Hello, everyone. Yes. Glad to Zach, be here on this Friday.
How are you doing on this Friday morning?
Doing great. I didn't know I was going to be here till like 20 minutes ago because some planning issues, but it worked good. We got it all figured out.
It all worked out well. Yeah, we were just talking about this right before the show where, like, me and Greg keep having the back and forth of one person booking a guest for the other person and us realizing that we need to figure out how we're going to do this, how we're going to communicate to people. Because, like, I think last time it was Gabe where I booked Gabe for Greg. And, like, right before the show, Greg's like, did you get Gabe the Discord? Did you get Gabe the doc? And I was like, oh, shit. All right, my bad. I didn't think about that. This time around, the reverse happened where, like, you know, Greg booked you. And, like, right before the show, I hit up Greg and I hit up you because, like, I sent you the doc and you're like, oh, am I on the show? And I was like, Greg, did you send him the stuff? And Greg was like, oh, shit, my bad. And so I'm glad it all worked out. I'm glad with 20 minutes to go, you're here, you're on the show, you're ready to talk about some video game news.
Yes, I am ready. I literally had to message somebody in Kotaku Slack today because I was like, oh, right, I'm doing Kinda Funny today. They're like, oh, yeah.
So. Zach, for people who don't know you, who is Zach? Because I know you as a few things, right? I know you as somebody who I like to play GTA Online with because you're my GTA Online guy. If I need somebody who knows their shit, if I need somebody to be my Sherpa for the new content, you're my go-to for GTA Online because you live and breathe that. I also know you as the weekend editor for Kotaku who does the out today portion of our show that we always pull from, right? Because you have the This Week in Games article that you write for Kotaku, which in my opinion is the most consistent and extensive list of games that are coming out from week to week, except for the last 2 weeks, which we can talk about because you've been missing for good reasons, right? You're out there on vacation and you're also on strike. And so very good reasons for Out Today not to be available for the last 2 weeks. But for the people who don't know you, who are you? How would you describe yourself?
I've always loved video games and I was somehow able to trick people consistently at different sites to pay me money to write about video games. And then I was able to trick the former EIC of Kotaku, Steve Totillo, into giving me an actual job to write about video games. Don't know how I did that, and that's where I am today. Yeah, I'm a GTA, I guess, expert. I don't like saying that, but yeah.
I mean, you are. Like, the thing is, GTA Online is so complicated, and for me, I put in, I think last time I checked, right, at least 500-something hours into GTA on PS4, and that doesn't include the amount of time I spent on PS3 playing GTA and GTA Online, and I still don't know shit. Like, I still come to you, and I'm like, hey, how do I do certain things?
Yeah, I think last I looked, I'm at 17 days.
Jeez. Somebody in chat convert that to hours.
Yeah, somebody convert that to hours, and then don't tell me. But yeah, and I still will have moments where I'm like, oh, wow, I had no idea this was... Like, that's how weirdly complicated GTA Online is. And I also play Red Dead Online and a lot of other Rockstar... I'm kind of like a Rockstar expert, you know, GTA/Rockstar expert as well. And yeah, I do the weekends for Kotaku. I cover the releases every week.
What does it mean that you do weekends, right? Because you're a weekend editor. Does that mean you're just like Saturday and Sundays are your day? You know, everybody get the fuck out. I'm riding on these days.
So yeah, essentially from Saturday morning till around Sunday, 5 o'clock Eastern time, basically the site's mine. And I could do whatever I want with it because there's no one else, because nobody else works the weekends. And in exchange, I get Tuesdays and Wednesdays off. So I have a slightly different schedule. But yeah, when you see weekend content, if you don't like it, it's me.
Hell, it's all me. If you
like it or don't like it, it's all me. The headlines, the tweets, the everything is I. Yeah. So
I am being told, right? I'm being told right now that 17 times 24. Thank you, Barrett. Thank you, Barrett. Incoming report, right? 17 times 24. It's 408. And so I got you beat in hours, Zach. Wow. I'm just a dumbass when it comes to mechanics. When it comes to keeping up with GTA Online, because there's so much shit to do. But I also, like, here's the thing, right? I do the same shit over and over again in GTA Online, and there's so much shit to do. I've like carved out my own space in terms of I'm doing the races, I'm doing the original five heists, and I'm doing kind of like the content. I'm doing the content that appeals to me, that I'm comfortable with, that I love doing.
Which,
whereas I think you're a bit more.
That's how you should play. Don't play like me because I play because it's a job. Don't do like me.
Yeah, but, you cover everything in GTA Online, which I think is where the knowledge comes in.
I'm looking now, actually, because when you said that number, I was like, that does seem a little low. When was the last time I actually looked at how long I played? So I just pulled it up here, my total time.
Let's see this.
And I'm actually
409 hours.
I'm actually really scared to look at it.
What's the worst number you could see right now as you're pulling up your GTA Online numbers?
Oh my god, I don't want to tell you. It's at 30 days. What's 30 days?
30 days!
Okay, hold up. What's 30 days?
30 times 24. Actually, I can do that in my head. What's 24 times 3? Actually, I'm not doing this in my head.
720 hours.
720 hours in GTA. And that sounds about right. That actually sounds way better.
I'm sorry, Zach. I know you didn't want to know the hours, but I had to tell you.
And then tack on 15 hours, because it's technically 30 days plus 15 hours.
Oh, okay.
Well, Zach, I have exciting news, right? You're going to be on PS I Love You next week also, because we're going to have a whole episode all about GTA, because, of course, GTA for Next Gen is coming out. And so we're going to have you and me sit with Greg and Janet and give the breakdown of, like, the intro to GTA, how to get into GTA Online, how to have fun, all that stuff. But that's going to be next week. That's going to be on Monday for Patreon and on Tuesday for everybody else. And so I'm very excited about that episode. But for now, before we get into the show proper, I have one more question for you. What is your favorite game of all time?
Ooh, I have my default answer that I always say, which is Half-Life 2. I love Half-Life 2. I've replayed it like 100 times. I've built mods for it. I've created maps for it. Half-Life 2.
What's your favorite mod that you made for Half-Life 2?
My favorite mod that I made for Half-Life... To be clear, I'm not good at making mods. My favorite mod I made for Half-Life 2,
He's like, I made Gary's mod.
Yeah, I made Zach's mod. It's terrible. Nobody plays it. No, my favorite mod was I swapped out the default assault rifle in Half-Life 2 with the carbine from Titanfall, because they both use Source. So you can just kind of drag models.
That's dope.
So, and then somebody did that for Left 4 Dead 2, and I've used their mod to play Left 4 Dead 2 with a Titanfall weapon. But that's it wasn't a very fun mod. I made my own levels. I made a horror-themed map. I've made stuff. So I love Half-Life 2. I bought an Xbox.
That's a good answer.
I bought an Xbox not for Halo. I bought an Xbox because I had heard the rumors that Half-Life 2 was going to be ported to Xbox. So I bought the Xbox. It got delayed. I was like, well, I'll try Halo out. And then I ended up liking Halo.
Hell yeah. Well, that's awesome. Well, Zach, enough about all that. Let's get into today's stories, which include February NPD numbers, a brand new game studio, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kind of Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, or bronze members or above, get to write in, and silver members or above, get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping for you, we've got another community podcast day. That is where Greg takes over the Twitch stream to guest on community podcasts for the entire day. That is happening right after today's Kind of Funny Games Daily on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. And then KDG writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames with a housekeeping PSA. KDG writes in to say, with clocks in the US changing this weekend, but not in Europe until the 27th, for the next 2 weeks, all Kind of Funny content will be an hour earlier than normal for us Europeans. KDG, thank you so much for that, because that is something that we would never think to communicate, but that is a really good point. And so be aware of your clocks, Europeans. For the next 2 weeks, you're going to get content an hour earlier. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Gordon McGuire, Fargo Brady, and Pranksy. Today we're brought to you by Upstart, ExpressVPN, Chime, and Babbel, but we'll babble on about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have five stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one. Barrett, do people give me enough credit?
I think people give you too much credit a lot of the time.
The answer is no. Oh. All right. Because I've been calling shit left and right. I told you that the previous kind of PlayStation State of Play was going to be Little Devil Inside. I told you that eventually we'd get Returnal DLC and co-op. Do you know what else I told you, Barrett? Do you know what else I told? Maybe not you directly. Mm. You know what else I told the world on Twitter specifically? I told specifically Jeff Grubb and Matt Piscatella. I told them that Elden Ring was going to be the best-selling game of February, followed by Horizon, followed by Pokemon, followed by Dying Light 2. Give me my fucking credit because that's exactly what happened. I'm going over to Jeffrey Rousseau at gamesindustry.biz, who put out an article titled Elden Ring. Well, actually, this isn't the article title. The article title is legitimately like, hey, MPD is out. This is my own title, which I think it sounds way more sexy, right? Story number one, Elden Ring has beaten Horizon, Pokemon, and Dying Light 2 to become 2022's best-selling game. Jeffrey's article reads like this. Throughout the month of February, U.S. game revenue reached $4.4 billion, a 6% decrease year over year, according to the latest NPD data. Consumer spending for the month on hardware declined by 27% year over year to $295 million when compared to 2020. Among game systems, the Nintendo Switch was the number one selling platform for units in dollars. Meanwhile, the Xbox Series systems came in second in the same categories. For software, Elden Ring debuted as number one for February's sales charts, whereas Horizon Forbidden West premiered as second. Pokemon Legends Arceus fell to third after being the top-selling game for January. Here are the U.S. top 10 based on dollar sales for the period between January 30th, 2022 through February 26th, 2022, courtesy of the NPD group. Starting at number 10, we got Minecraft. At number 9, FIFA 22. Above that, Mario Kart 8. We then got Madden NFL 22. At number 6, Call of Duty Vanguard. Number 5, a new entry, Total War Warhammer 3. At number 4, Dying Light 2, Stay Human. At number 3, Pokemon Legends Arceus. At number 2, a new entry, Horizon Forbidden West. And at number 1, we got Elden Ring. Now, I'm hopping out of the gamesindustry.biz article into a thread from Matt Piscatella at Matt Piscatella on Twitter, who works for the NPD and is a video game analyst who tweets a lot of good stuff, right? Matt had a big thread breaking down the NPD analytics for this month. I'm going to jump into these four tweets specifically about the premium game sales. Matt's thread reads like this. Elden Ring debuted as both the best-selling game of February 2022 as well as 2022 year-to-date. Launch month sales of Elden Ring were the second highest for any tracked title released in the past 12 months, trailing only Call of Duty Vanguard, released in November 2021. After 1 month in market, Elden Ring has ranked the fifth best-selling game of the 12-month period ending February 2022. Elden Ring ranked first on Steam and Xbox platforms in February, while placing second on PlayStation. Horizon Forbidden West was the second best-selling PlayStation game of February 2022, while also ranking, second best overall selling game of February 2022, while also ranking first on PlayStation platforms. Dollar sales of the PS5 version of Horizon set a new launch month record for the PS5 platform. Total War Warhammer 3 debuted as the number 5 best-selling game of February 2022, while also ranking second on Steam. The title also launched as part of the PC Game Pass and Xbox Game Pass Ultimate subscription services. Zach, this is a buffet of information. Is there anywhere you want to start?
I mean, the first place I want to start is that what a wild transition Elden Ring. Like, look at Demon's Souls, which was kind of this cult thing that you couldn't convince anyone to even play it, really. It was like, you know, and now Elden Ring is it's punching Call of Duty in the sales chart. It's actually up there with Pokemon. I never expected that. Like, crazy. And the other thing is, it's wild to think that, and maybe I'm wrong on this, all Elden Ring was only on sale in February for 4 days?
So this is going up to, let's see. That's a really good question. Because Elden Ring didn't have as many days as all these other games. That's huge, right? Yeah. This goes up to through the 26th of February.
So that's 2 days of Elden Ring.
2 days.
That's 25th and the 26th, which is insane.
That's insane. That's the bigger thing to take away, is that if this had been the whole month, that's impressive. This is 2 days.
Yeah, this is 2 days. Compared to, and like, to give more context, right? This is 2 days compared to the over a week, I think, that Horizon had. And then also when we're talking about Pokemon, we're talking about a game that came out at the end of January, right? Yeah. And so that's not counting launch Pokemon sales, which we know were enormous. But that is you know, that launcher mood, that is most of Pokemon's, like, yeah. life cycle right there for Legends Arceus, right? That had a month to gestate and gain all those sales as well. And so that's why, like, in a traditional month, or not a traditional month, in a month where Pokemon launched in the same period as these other games, I would have said that Pokemon would have been number one.
And it, right? you have to always remember, too, is that, like, Nintendo, and I see even here, that Dying Light 2... digital sales were not included.
Right.
Yeah. And that's like a famous thing with Nintendo. Like, they never count digital sales for whatever reason. So, like, I can only imagine of like how many more people like are like dedicating themselves to digital only for the Switch. So that's a interesting
thing. That's true.
For sure. But like, even regardless, right? Like, Pokemon in the last however many days, right? From that period of January 30th up until the end of February. That's still a lot of time for Pokemon to kind of come back and have.
And those games have tails. You know, those games, Pokemon games are not flash in the pan. They have tails on them. They sell for months, you know. So the fact that Elden Ring, and even if you factor in digital and you say that, okay, that bumps Pokemon up, whatever. Like, Elden Ring being in the top 10 is crazy by itself. If you look at the lineage of that series and where it started as like a game that Sony didn't want to bring over here. Demon's Souls was, they didn't want to bring it over here. And now it's one of the best-selling games. It's influencing tons of other games. Like, it's a really weird, unexpected path for that, for From Software.
Yeah, and a lot of people in chat are pointing out correctly that, like, you know, when we're talking about these games, we're talking about Pokemon being on a singular platform, being the Switch, and Horizon being on a singular platform, being the PlayStation. I would say that, hey, those boost those sales, right? Like, of course, like, not compared to games that come out on every platform, like an Elden Ring, right? But like the PlayStation audience obviously showing up for Horizon because Horizon got number one on PlayStation, right? The Nintendo audience is showing up for Pokemon. Those games are known quantities. Those games are mass appeal games. Those games are going to kill it regardless. The real story here is that Elden Ring, despite being a new IP, despite being from a developer with a history of games that are a bit more niche, a bit more hardcore, a bit
for sure.
You know, less approachable for the casual audience, right? Or for just any gamer to hop into, Elden Ring is still killing it in sales to the point of having that one of the highest sales months of the last 12 months. That is incredible.
Yeah. And if you want me to dig a little deeper into this data, the one other thing I'm noticing is that I don't know about what you hear, but there's usually this discussion of open world game fatigue that we keep hearing. But look at the top four games. They're open world games.
Exactly.
100%. Open world games. Like, regardless of how you feel, regardless of how, you know, I think sometimes Twitter, we get into these bubbles of who you follow and you hear certain things. But the reality is that if you look at the numbers, people love open world games. This is what they want more of.
And exactly.
The top four games are literally open world games.
Yeah, and that's the thing I find fascinating about Elden Ring is, like, when we look at the success of it right now, right, both critically and in terms of numbers, right, I think the questions you start to ask are, like, all right, what is it about Elden Ring that's doing things different? What is it about Elden Ring that is speaking to people? And I do think the open world thing has a lot to do with it. Not only is it an open world game, it's a very quality open world game that, you know, I think really does double down on, like, all right, how do we create an RPG that feels expansive, right? Feels like you're exploring and feels like you have stories to tell. We were talking about this on PS Love You earlier this week where, you know, we're having a back and forth of, like, is Elden Ring niche, right? Like, can you call it that when, you know, it's having such a big moment right now and is speaking to so many people? Or because, like, it has a certain audience that, like, it commits to, right? I think my thought on it is scrolling through TikTok and scrolling through Twitter and scrolling through the places where my timeline isn't just the gamer shit, right? Like, I'm TikTok. Right. I'm just on TikTok to hang out, right? That's where that's where I go to escape the gamer shit. My TikTok is filled with Elden Ring content. And it's not just filled with Elden Ring content. It's filled with content that have many likes. Like, these videos have 500,000 likes, sometimes more, sometimes less, right? Like, Elden Ring has hit that appeal that you've seen games like Skyrim and Witcher have. And I wouldn't be surprised to see at the end of the day when we're talking about it 5 years, maybe a decade from now, us look back and us put it in that regard of, oh shit, Elden Ring sold 20 million, 30 million, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't think it's crazy to say Elden Ring is as mainstream as Call of Duty at this point now. Like, this is not a little thing. This isn't the game that, you know, a few friends play and you guys talk about, but nobody else knows what the hell are you talking. No, this is huge. Elden Ring is huge. It's only going to get bigger. Like, this is just the start. Like we said, this is only for a few days. Elden Ring is going to continue to sell. And what's really interesting is that on Steam, I think last I looked, it's the second most played game on Steam right now. It's at like 600,000 concurrents. That's putting it up with Counter-Strike Go. That's putting it up with Lost Ark, which was a huge, you know, which is like, this is big. And it's only going to get bigger. And I'm very curious to see how From Software handles this. You know, do they think about this at all? My gut says no, that they don't care. They don't give a shit. They just keep making the games they want to make. But that's another thing.
I mean, I think the big question is, like, do you get an Elden Ring 2? You know, like if you'd asked me before leading into Elden Ring, before we were seeing these raw numbers, I would have said that, oh, yeah, like after Elden Ring, you're going to get the reported Armored Core game. And then maybe From Software switches back to Dark Souls, or maybe they go Sekiro 2, or maybe they finally revisit Bloodborne, right? Like maybe we get one of those games, or maybe they do another new IP because Elden Ring is working for them as a new IP. I think now that we're seeing Elden Ring kill it like this, I think Elden Ring 2 is a lot more plausible. But From Software is a developer that I think has done such a good job of charting their own path and not feeling like they have to be beholden to sequels. I know Dark Souls had like three Dark Souls games, right? But when you look at lately, right, their last three to four games, right, you're talking about Bloodborne in 2015, you're talking about Dark Souls 3, you're talking about Sekiro, and then you're talking about Elden Ring, right? Going from Sekiro to Elden Ring is already like that. Those are two new IPs back to back. And those are games that Sekiro got Game of the Year at the Game Awards. Elden Ring is probably going to get a lot of Game of the Year this year, and is killing it in sales. Do you need to even worry about Elden Ring 2? Can you just keep making games that are new, that are fresh?
Yeah, I think From Software, this is a weird comparison, but they're kind of like Pixar in that sense that they don't care about sequels. They make hit after hit with new IP and sequels. Their sequels do great. Their new IP does even better. They are consistently, you know, when people talk about these kind of games, you're always compared to From Software. Like, everyone's comparing that to From Software when you're making these types of action, open world, hardcore RPGs. So, yeah, I don't know. I think, in some ways, Elden Ring doing so well kind of gives them... They can do whatever the fuck they want now. They don't care. They can make Bloodborne 2. They can make Elden Ring 2. They can make something none of us can expect.
What is your... So, have you jumped into Elden Ring? Is that your kind of game?
Not at all.
That's fair enough.
No, I love watching people talk about it because I love seeing people get excited about games, but I have no patience for these games, and I understand that, and I will never be able to play them, and that's just where I am. But
yeah, and that's totally fair.
And I'm not one of those people who says, like, oh, Elden Ring is overrated. I'm not trying to say that. It's more just that I tried playing Dark Souls, and I tried playing Bloodborne. I played them for about 4 or 5 hours, and I was like, I get this, and I just don't have the patience for this.
Yeah, like every game's not going to be for every person.
No,
guaranteed.
No, and it's not even hard or easy for me. It's literally just I don't have the patience for this. Like, I died to a boss fight twice in a row. I'm like, fuck this. I don't want to do this anymore. I just want to kill him. I don't want to have to, like, learn and get good. I can't do that.
I mean, I think the question for me ends up being, like, what do I want from Software next? Right. Because, like, you know, I fucking love Elden Ring. Right. But, like, I fucking love Sekiro, and I fucking love Bloodborne. And, you know, I still got to go back and finish Demon's Souls. And now that I've seen Elden Ring all the way through, I do want to go through Dark Souls. Right. I'm kind of in that mood right now. But in terms of what I want,
I was going to ask, do you want another open world From Software game, or do you want them to completely surprise you again? Do you want them to go a completely different direction?
That's a really good question. I think what I like about From Software is that they continue to surprise me. The things that I love about Bloodborne are different from the things that I love about Sekiro, and the things I love about Sekiro are different from the things that I love about Elden Ring, right? Like, I love Bloodborne for the world and the lore, and I love it for the combat mechanics and, like, the use your gun to stagger enemies and get the visceral attack, right? Like, I love that flow. Whereas Sekiro, I'm all about the rhythm of it. I'm all about the boss fights. I'm all about how good and pure and fast and swift the combat is, right? But for Elden Ring, I do like the open world exploration, and I like that feeling of power when I'm able to make a build for my character that feels totally unique for me, right? And I think, you know, From Software, the thing they've mastered is being able to lock in on what they want to be special about a game and totally carry it through with an amazing amount of quality. So in terms of what I want next, I don't know if I want them to revisit open world eventually. I don't know if I need that super soon, right? Yeah. Like, I'm down. It seems like their next thing is going to be Armored Core, and I'm excited to see what they do for that. That might speak to me. It might not speak to me because I've never been an Armored Core person, but I'm excited to see what the modern day version of From Software does with that. And at the very least, I'm gonna check that out for sure. After that, I kind of want them to I want them to do fresh shit, right? Like,
yeah.
And that could be in the case of, hey, now let's revisit Sekiro and make another Sekiro that is capitalizing on that Swift combat or something brand new, right? I don't need them necessarily to keep doing open world over and over again.
I was gonna ask. I know the internet wants Bloodborne 2. Mm-hmm. Would you be okay with Bloodborne 2 if it was an open world from if they took their foundation they have here and they're like, let's try to take something?
The answer is yes. Okay, I love that. Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's what I mean though. Like, From Software is in a great spot. Like, you're literally gonna play Armored Core, and you don't even really have any interest in Armored Core. You have mm-hmm. no like. I actually like the old games. I play a lot of those. But you're gonna play this game entirely based on From Software. That's the place they're in. They're in a spot like Valve. They're in a spot like Rockstar, where people buy their games, even though they don't like it necessarily, the genre, they're like, well, I gotta buy it. I gotta try it. It's the new insert, you know, game company's game. So that's a good spot to be in.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people get to be in that spot.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm excited to see what comes from Software in the future, but like, it feels like now we're gonna have to wait a little bit. I'm sure now that Armored Core, the reports are out there, I wouldn't be surprised if we see it announced in the next year or so. The other thing about From Software is that they're pretty rapid in their game development, right? Yeah. Like, I forget what year Dark Souls 3 came out, but like 2015 got Bloodborne, right? Like, somewhere in that time, I think maybe 2016, 2017, we got Dark Souls 3. And then you get Sekiro in 2019. And in 2022, the beginning of 2022, we get Elden Ring. And so, like, they're cranking these things out. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw an Armored Core by, what, 2025?
Maybe
2024?
Maybe the Game Awards. We get a trailer for it.
I could see it. Yeah, like at a Keeley event.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I can't wait to see. But for now, let's hop in to story number two. Speaking of new games, we got Akumi Nakamura has announced a new studio. This is from Sal Romano at Gamatsu. Akumi Nakamura has announced the establishment of Unseen, quote, a borderless and mysterious game development studio headquartered in Tokyo, Japan. Nakamura is an artist and director who contributed towards games such as Okami, Bayonetta, The Evil Within, and Ghostwire Tokyo. She rose to internet fame following her appearance at Bethesda Softworks E3 2019 press conference when she was creative director on Ghostwire Tokyo at Tango Gameworks. After leaving Tango Gameworks in September 2019 and touring studios all over the world, Nakamura has now established a studio of her own. While the Tokyo studio acts as a terminal where different cultures intersect and artists gather, its aim is to, quote, transcend beyond the realm of video games, end quote. Nakamura is joined by an experienced team of veterans, including Naoki Katake, formerly of Tango Gameworks as CDO and Environment Art Specialist, Liam Wong, formerly of Ubisoft, as visual director, Raul Ibarra, formerly of Moon Studios, as animation director, Misuzu Watanabe, formerly of Capcom, as game director, and then Nass, as concept artist and illustrator. The list goes on, but you can go to Gamatsu to see the full list of hires and specialists that they have over there. Nakamura said in an IGN interview, quote, at Unseen, we want to build a multicultural team, a cross-cultural world made up of international staff. The studio will be made up of developers who each have a specialist skill, but who are also generalists, which will make us somewhat unique. Personally, I enjoy learning about cultures, and same is true of the rest of the team. A mix of cultures can be a breeding ground for new ideas, which is the real joy of starting a new studio. I don't want to think only in terms of video games. I want to make a new IP that can work as a variety of entertainment media. For example, anime, education, apparel. I'd like to make a game that can have impact on those kinds of media too, and to grow carefully. Zach, are you one to follow Ikumi Nakamura, right? Like, she had that big moment at Bethesda's E3, right? Really exciting for what Ghostwire Tokyo was revealed as. Great Twitter account,
great
right?
Twitter
like, does
account.
This interest you?
Yes, very much. I mean, I'm just down for new studios. I think it's always cool to see people who have a legacy, who have worked on cool shit, making a new studio, and also bring together other cool people and going like, we're going to make something. That's always exciting. New stuff is always exciting. And honestly, anybody who describes their new studio as borderless and mysterious, that's a good selling point to me. I'm very into this idea. So, yeah, I'm excited. Yeah. Ghostwire Tokyo, which I know she was working on before she left. That game looks wicked, so I'm very excited for this.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, right? Like, it's interesting when it is folks that it's hard to nail down what the track record is. Like, Ikumi, again, has worked on the cool ass games, right? Okami, Bayonetta, Evil Within, and Ghostwire Tokyo. And I believe she was working a lot under, what's his name from Platinum Studios, the dude who has the wild Twitter account that blocks everybody. She was working under him.
Yeah.
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Kamiya, thank you. Yeah, she was working under Hideki Kamiya for a lot of time. And so, like, she has that bolstering her up too. And like, it seems like she's well liked, right? Like, I'm very curious on what this ends up being, because it's in that weird space of, all right, like, I've not seen you lead a game in this way, but you have a cool team, right? You have people from Tango, you have people from Ubisoft, Moon Studios, Capcom, right? It seems like you have a banger crew.
Yeah.
You're going for something interesting and different for the people you are assembling, right? Like, again, she mentions that she wants to build a team that is filled with people that have different skills and is cross-cultural, right? Like, has people that have different art specializations, right? But still also have that groundedness in being able to program and being able to think in different ways. I think it's fascinating, and I'm very excited, and I wonder if we do get something that does fall in line with the Tango Gameworks style of games, which, you know, I compare to, like, a Resident Evil style type of game, right? Like, I wonder if she makes that. I wonder if she makes a Okami-type game, right? Like, sky's kind of the limit in terms of what she can do here.
Right, that's the exciting thing, is that your first big IP at a studio like this, especially a studio that seems to have, like you mentioned, the bangers in terms of the crew there, and, you know, she has this momentum from 2019 for that E3 thing, so people like her. So this is just all seems good to me. And I think it's always smart when you're working in video games or any medium to try to pull people, to try and think outside of just that, which is what she seems to be doing here. Like, it's always better to diversify in terms of the kind of people you have, what you're working on, your inspiration, your everything. It's always better that way. So yeah, I think, you know, we're in a weird stage here. We don't really know anything about the game, or even if it's going to be a game. The way she talks, it could be, who knows?
Yeah. It sounds
be
like
many things.
It sounds like she has very big aspirations, right? Because she's talking about, you know, I want to make a new IP, right? Like, she's talking about it as an IP, as like an entertainment thing. And it seems like it's going to be centered as a game, but she wants it to also have anime, education, apparel, all these things, right? And like, you know, she's talking about it like it is going to be a AAA thing, which sounds cool and is one to add to the list of these indie AAA developers that keep popping up, right? Like, again, I'll point back to Shinobi602 on Twitter, who is another one of those great Twitter accounts to follow, who talks about a lot of things in video games. He had a thread that he tweeted out in the beginning of February that was like, hey, we've seen a lot of independent studios that are working on big AAA games, and he goes down the list of, like, you got, you know, That's No Moon, right, which apparently is a Star Wars reference that I've never heard of. You got Striking Distance.
Bless, stop it.
I wasn't gonna
who
say
says that? That's okay, No Moon?
To be clear, I wasn't going to say anything. I was being nice. But yeah, that is a very... Come on now.
Zach's with me.
Again.
You can't have a million quotes from one movie franchise and expect me to know them all.
I mean, it's just... We've said it before. It's a top five Star Wars quote.
No,
it is. Okay. It's from the original movie. It's like one of Obi-Wan's most iconic... That's No Moon? Are you fucking insane, Blessing?
Well, first off...
I just spilled coffee everywhere, so keep ranting as I go to clean it up.
I'm glad you spilled coffee everywhere, you fucking dork.
Is this karma? Was that karma? That
was karma for him.
Okay.
Jesus.
I love Star Wars, huge Star Wars fan. I have, like, way too many Lego Star Wars sets out there and all that. No. But I don't think I would call that a top five quote. Personally, I think it's like top 10 maybe. But sure.
Oh, it's everywhere. It's all over.
I'm forcefully at made Blessing.
did you just use the dark side of the Force to, like,
I don't know what Barry did, but it was powerful. I felt it from over here. Oh god.
Well, I hope
your desk is sticky for weeks now.
Oh no, I'm gonna have to clean. I've had like an unlucky 12 hours. I don't know if you guys have seen the two band-aids I have on my finger. Oh. I've had like I don't know who cursed me in the last 12 hours, but shit's not been going well.
After seeing all that, I am gonna say that it's totally a very popular quote, and I'm never going to cross you. I'm never going to cross anyone here.
But yeah, like you have again, That's No Moon, right? You have Striking Distance, you have Gravity Well, you have Kojima Studios. Kojima Studio, that's a really good one to throw out there, right? Kojima Studios would be in that. You have Deviation Studios. The list goes on in terms of these indie studios that are making these AAA games. And I'm very curious to see what the fruits of that are. Because of course, like, some of them are gonna come out as duds, right? But like, I'm excited to see how many of them come out and it's like, oh shit, you know, this team has talent, this team has the stuff, right? And like, it excites me because it feels like we're about to enter an age where we're not beholden to these big publishers for AAA games, right? It's not just going to be us waiting for, okay, what's Ubisoft working on? What's Square Enix working on? What is PlayStation First Party or Xbox First Party, right? Or like, it doesn't feel like we're going to, you know, we're going to have to get games from those same folks and have that same quality, right? Like, I like the idea of being able to have a spread of different creative ideas and different qualities.
It's important now more than ever because, I don't know if you've seen the news, but everybody's buying everyone. Mm-hmm. So it's even more important now than ever before that we have studios who can produce the big AAA, AA, whatever you want to kind of call it, experiences that are separate from these corps that are buying everyone up. So yeah, I think it's even more important when you look at it like that. So, and it seems like that's the pipeline, you know, stuff gets bought up, the creators kind of leave, they start their new studio, and unfortunately, it's probably likely a few of these will get bought up in a few years. And,
yeah, I mean, you know, and you're seeing a lot of them. Here's what I hope, right? Because I think we're already seeing some of it. Deviation, God, I always get them mixed up. Either FireSprite or Firewalk. One of the two. Haven Studio, right? Like, they're partnering with PlayStation. And so, like, I like the idea of that because that gives them that autonomy still to publish that game under PlayStation and then go on and do their own thing and continue to exist. But it gives them that safety net where if they put their game out and their game doesn't hit as hard as they want it to, cool, like PlayStation paid for it, and so it's not death for your company, right? It is cool, we get to try again, we get to have another shot. And I think that is it's a way for developers to have security, right? Whether it's that, whether it is putting your game on Game Pass and having Xbox front a lot of money for it, right? Whether it is Epic Games coming to you to put their money put your game on their store and paying you for that, right? Like, I like the partnerships that are happening. It does get scary when it is companies buying everybody, right? Yes. Companies buying big publishers. But I do think that it becomes exciting when these new indie AAA studios rise and are able to do that separately from that and do their own thing.
And I get it. I mean, it's scary to be out there without the money. Like, I get why Double Fine and all these places are taking these deals, because like you said, there's a stability that you get from having those companies. So I get it. But yeah, I am happy to see other artists and creators going like, I'm going to give this a shot. And so I hope Nakamura, I hope she has tons of success, and I hope we see something from them soon-ish. We'll see. It'll be a few years. We'll
see. Before we hop into story number three, I want to let everybody out there know that you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. Am I going to be cleaning my desk during these ads? The answer is yes. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
Shout out to ExpressVPN for sponsoring this episode. If you've ever been on the bus or the train with someone who's taking a phone call on speaker, you know that everyone who can hear them now knows a bunch of their private business. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is basically the same thing, so don't be that person. Did you know your ISP knows every single website you visit, and then they can sell that information to ad companies and tech giants who can use that data to target you? Well, ExpressVPN creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so people can't peep in on your online activity. The best part of it is how easy it is to use. You just fire up the ExpressVPN app and click a button on any device. I've been using this forever. Kind of Funny's been staying safe on the internet with ExpressVPN, and they're right. It could not be easier to use. Secure your online activity today at expressvpn.com/kindoffunny and get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN free. That's expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. ExpressVPN.com/kindoffunny. Shout out to Upstart. If you've got multiple credit card balances each month and are getting by just paying the minimums, barely making a dent into your credit card debt, it can be pretty dang discouraging. Upstart can help you pay off your existing debt quickly so you can feel like you're finally getting ahead. Whether you're paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get one fixed monthly payment. Upstart knows that you are more than just your credit score and is expanding access to affordable credit. Unlike other lenders, Upstart considers your income and current employment to find you a smarter rate for your loan. With a 5-minute rate check, you can see your rate upfront for loans between $1,000 and $50,000 and receive your funds as fast as one business day after accepting your loan. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/kindoffunny. That's upstart.com/kindoffunny. Don't forget to use the URL to let them know that we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/kindoffunny. Shout out to Babbel for sponsoring this episode. There's nothing worse than traveling abroad and looking like an idiot because you didn't bother to learn the slightest bit of the country's language. That's why Greg Miller has been using a little Babbel to learn French to speak to Genevieve. Babbel is the addictively fun, fast, and easy language learning app that has sold more than 10 million subscriptions. Babbel's 15-minute lessons make it the perfect way to learn a new language on the go. Other language learning apps use AI for their lesson plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 100 language experts. Their teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective, and you can choose from 14 different languages like Spanish, French, Italian, and German. Plus, Babbel speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent, which has been helping Greg Miller be able to communicate with Jen's extended family. Right now, when you purchase a 3-month Babbel subscription, you'll get an additional 3 months free. That's 6 months for the price of 3. Just go to babbel.com and use promo code kindoffunny. That's BABBEL.com, code kindoffunny. Babbel, language for life. And shout out to Chime. Kick off 2022 with a better checking account with no monthly fees, no overdraft fees, no foreign transaction fees, and no service fees. Get all that and then some with Chime, an award-winning app and debit card. They've also got over 60,000 fee-free in-network ATMs all over the place, like at most Walgreens, 7-Elevens, or CVS's. You can access your money when you need it, where you need it. Make your first good decision of the new year and join over 10 million people using Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/kfgames. That's chime.com/kfgames. Banking services provided by a debit card issued by the Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank NA members FDIC. Get fee-free transactions at any MoneyPass ATM in a 7-Eleven location and at any Allpoint or Visa Plus Alliance ATM. Otherwise, out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply. Sometimes pay anyone instant transfers can be delayed. The recipient must use a valid debit card or be a Chime member to claim funds. chime.com/kfgames.
Story number 3, Russia reportedly legalizes piracy of games, movies, and more. I'm pulling from Ryan Leston at IGN. Russia is reportedly easing its copyright laws to offset sanctions imposed by Western nations in response to its invasion of Ukraine. In doing so, it is effectively legalizing piracy of games, movies, TV shows, and more. The Russian Ministry of Economic Development proposed relaxing piracy legislation earlier this week to circumvent sanctions. That is a sentence. If you read that sentence to me in elementary school, my brain would explode. Let me say that again. The Russian Ministry of Economic Development proposed relaxing piracy legislation earlier this week to circumvent sanctions. Quote, the possibility of lifting restrictions on the use of intellectual property contained in certain goods, the supply of which to Russia is limited, is being considered, said the ministry. Quote, this will smooth out the impact on the market of breaks in the supply chains, as well as a shortage of goods and services that arose due to new sanctions of Western countries, end quote. According to local media in Russia, as reported by City AM, the government has now announced that Russian companies have no obligation to pay patent holders for the use of intellectual property from any countries that have sanctioned the country. This has effectively legalized piracy across the nation. The move comes just days after Twitch suspends payments to Russian streamers. They have also introduced new rules to stop the spread of misinformation, allowing Twitch to take action against accounts deemed to be spreading false info, such as the video game footage being passed off as real-life war footage. Additionally, Microsoft, Sony, and many more gaming and entertainment companies have suspended sales of games and hardware across Russia. In doing so, the companies have answered a call from Ukraine's deputy prime minister, who asked all game developers to temporarily end support in Russia and Belarus. This is kind of the ongoing story of what's going on in Russia with, like the story mentioned, right? The deputy prime minister having the call of like, hey, Microsoft, Sony, like big game companies, you know, cut off support from Russia because to put pressure on them, right? And it seems like the call was answered, and this is now the response from Russia, which is, hey, okay, cool, legalize it, I guess, or right. Legalize like pirating shit, I guess. This is one of those interesting ones where it is that meeting of very real world news with video game news. But Zach, do you have any thoughts on this?
I think it's a bad sign. It shows that Russia they're in it for the long haul. This is not like they're planning to live under these sanctions. They're planning to deal with these sanctions. So for anyone out there who's was hoping the conflict with the Ukraine would end, that they would this would this you know the bombings and all that would end anytime soon, this is a bad sign for that.
Mm-hmm.
This is Russia basically saying, nah, and that's bad.
Yeah. This seems like kind of the natural progression. You know, I think this could have been predicted to some extent of them going, all right, you're going to cut off support of all this stuff. Cool. We're just going to allow our folks to pirate it. This is one to keep an eye on. You know, like I do think there is still value in these big companies cutting off that support, right? Cutting off supporting their programs in Russia, right? I think it does still add pressure. It does still it is kind of an attack on the economy, and it also does help with the messaging of the misinformation that goes around through the citizens of Russia via whether it is Twitch streams, whether it is propaganda on the internet, all that stuff, right? Having these actual companies come through and be like, actually, no, like, we're not supporting this. No, like, pay attention. Like, this shit isn't the way you think it is, right? I think that still holds valuable. And Barrett here has brought up, right, the Tiltify link to kind of funny's Tiltify page for hashtag Hope for Ukraine, where you can go. We've already raised $5,403 toward Hope for Ukraine, which helps benefit those that are over there suffering. And so if you have the chance, if you have the opportunity, definitely go check out that link. Jared, do you have the link that people can go to?
It's just kindoffunny.com/Ukraine.
Perfect. Yeah, head over there, make your voice heard, and go support. Story number four, Xbox is having an indie showcase next week. This is from Ryan Dinsdale at IGN. Ryan Dinsdale, the Dinsdale Dimmadome. Ryan writes this: Xbox is hosting a new It at Xbox indie showcase on March 16th. Xbox announced the stream in a blog post saying it'll include a number of new game announcements and updates for current releases. The showcase will take place on March 16th at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Xbox's post reads, quote, "We'll be featuring updates, new trailers, and gameplay from Finji, which is Tunic, and Whitehorn, which makes Lake, as well as the first game from IM8Bit's brand new publishing label. Fans will also get the chance to see the latest and hear from teams working on Shredders, Roblox, and some new games that you need to tune in and to see," end quote. Xbox hosted their indie showcase last March to promote its ID at Xbox development program, or ID at Xbox, actually. I keep thinking ID Software, but ID at Xbox development program, and its showcase last August included a ton of announcements, including news on Stardew Valley, Ollie Ollie World, and RPG Time. Zach, is this one that excites you? It sounded like earlier you're a big Xbox person.
Yeah, I play a lot of Xbox, and I'm super into Xbox indie support. I think these last few years they were already pretty good at it, but it's gotten so much better. And now with Game Pass, there's always that exciting feeling of like, ooh, I get to just play this when it comes out. I don't got to buy it. You know, it's like just in my library. I can play it right away. So, yeah, I'm excited and curious to see more about Shredders. I like snowboarding.
Are you into Shredders? Because like, me and Snow Mike are super excited about Shredders. Because, like,
oh, yeah.
It seems like it's going to give us that like SSX vibe and like, yes. Stuff, right? You're not having a lot of those nowadays, and so to see an indie dev go, hey, let's just make something that's like that, right? Like, let's make our own SSX is really hype.
Sort of like how Session was like, hey, man, people like Skate, let's try exactly. Make our own Skate. This is kind of like, man, people like SSX3, SSX Tricky, like, let's try to do something kind of similar. It's not exact, but good enough, close enough. So I'm excited to see a lot of that stuff, and honestly, I'm just happy that Microsoft is continuing to push into or continue to support indies, continuing to make it a big part of their platform.
Yeah, exactly. Like right now I am consulting the one and only Blessing Super Fun game release calendar to kind of see like what could we see at this thing, right? This calendar, it's very big in the game world.
I have seen it on Twitter. I think it's the best calendar I've ever heard of, so I'm really
thank you
excited.
I mean, that is what the reviews are saying
compared to mine. To be fair, I mean, my weekly calendars are,
of course, right? We're definitely both top two, right? I'm top two. Mine is, if you know, this is an official calendar made by an official organization, right? The Blessed game release calendar. It is top two, and it's not two, let me tell you, Zach. But I'm looking through and I'm like, cool, what could they talk about, what could they announce, what could they reveal, right? What could we see? And like Cult of the Lamb, I'm reminded of. That's a game that looks really cool. That has a really dope art style, and like it'd be cool. I'm not kept up with like each and every platform for all these games. Some of them might be announced for Xbox already, and we could see new showings. Some of them could be announced for PC, and maybe they're coming to Xbox as well. But like, yep. I look to that one. You know, I look to Bomb Rush, Cyberpunk. You know, I looked to Planet of Lana. I looked to Replaced, right? I looked to even Metal Slug Tactics, right? Again, like, it'd be dope to see some of these games come to Xbox, and it'd be dope to see some of these games come to Xbox Game Pass. It seems like there's a lot of games that are still in the ether in terms of, are they around the corner? Are they this year? Like, should we expect these things? She Dreams Elsewhere is a game that I've been excited for years at this point that we know is going to release on Xbox Game Pass. It'd be really cool to see a date for that. Like, I'm excited to see what we can see from this thing.
And of course, it's always exciting to get that brand new game that nobody knows. Like, you're like, whoa, what's this thing? You know, so yeah, definitely interested in that.
Do you have any predictions or hopes for a game? I know you said Shredders. Do you have anything else?
I don't know if I have a prediction. I am curious to see. It mentions the folks that made Lake and Tunic are going to have new gameplay there. So I'd be curious to see what that is, because I liked Lake. And Tunic seems cool, so yeah.
Yeah, and
is Lake the
Lake is the? Oh, sorry.
No. Talk about Lake.
Oh, I was gonna ask because like Lake, I know is the narrative game where you play as like what a mail person delivering mail.
The way I describe Lake is it's a Midwestern version of Death Stranding set in the '80s. Because basically you're delivering packages to people and you're learning about them as you do it. So it's cool.
Is that the type of game to receive an update or DLC?
Oh, that's a good point. Maybe they do like a new neighborhood, you know, like a new that you could go visit.
The new neighborhood drop.
Yeah,
that's kind of fire.
You guys hear that new neighborhood dropping soon, season 2?
Yo, they got the new neighborhood dropping. You know, this one is a cul-de-sac this time. It's about to change the game.
The Rock is in season 2 of Lake. He's driving the so maybe that's a good point. Yeah, that could be what we see. So,
The one I'll throw out there that I want to see, this isn't a prediction, this is more so just a hope, because I really want to see more of this game. Somerville, that's one that is kindoffunny.com/you're wrong for the name of the dev, but it was formerly people from Play Dead, right, who split off to make their own studio, and it looks like a Play Dead style game where it is 2D puzzle platformer, really cool vibes, really cool style. I really want to see more of that game, and I want to know when it's coming, and so I hope we see that one.
Is that one that you think is rumor? Is that rumored at all, or
it's not rumored? No. Okay. That's just me pulling from games that I know that I believe have been announced for 2022. That one doesn't have a date. I don't think it has a window outside of 2022.
I'd be curious to see if Terra Nil shows up. I don't know if you've seen anything about that.
No, what is that?
That is a eco city building game. The idea is that the world went to shit, and you basically land and you destroy all the man made stuff and rebuild nature. There was a Steam demo for it. You can search on Kotaku.com to find impressions of Terran now. But yeah, that looks really cool, and that could definitely fit into their kind of lineup for PC. It's more PC. I guess it could do a console version, but it's a more PC game. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that could be there maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. I feel like Xbox has been knocking it out the park with these ID at Xbox showcases, and I think part of that is them managing expectations. You know, we're coming off the State of Play where, you know, I keep trying to set expectations for myself and others of like, guys, State of Play is going to be low key. It's not going to be super exciting announcements. It's going to be one or two things that you take away and you go, oh, that's cool, and then the rest of like random games that you're probably not going to play, right? And so for me, I came out of that State of Play being like, oh, cool, we got Returnal DLC, and like I'm fine with it, right? And you know, I think ID at Xbox for these streams do a good job of being like, hey, this is gonna be a bunch of indie games. Show up if you want to. It's gonna be a long ass stream. Hang out and have fun.
We're not gonna show you the new Perfect Dark here. They're good with their marketing on that.
One more thing is Cuphead, Delicious Last Course. We got that re-revealed, and we know that's coming in June. It'd be cool to see like gameplay of a new boss or something like that.
Yeah. Makes sense too, because the Netflix show.
Oh, so, yeah, good timing. Yep. Have you seen the Netflix show?
I have not. Is it good?
I love it. I'm like halfway through it. I've been slow burning it, but I love it because the episodes are super short, right? It's like 15-minute episodes. It feels like a half an episode of SpongeBob or something like that, right? Like, it's that kind of length, and it's goofy. It kind of has those like Ren and Stimpy vibes, like the early 2000s,
late
90s kind
of.
Yeah,
and that's why it reminds me a lot of SpongeBob, because like SpongeBob really spun off of that, like them making like really weird, grotesque faces and stuff like that. Like it feels like a SpongeBobified version of Cuphead, but it still fits of what Cuphead is, which is really impressive with what they
did. You've both have sold me on the show much more than. Because I was like, Cuphead's cool, I guess, and it looks neat. But now, short episodes, Ren and Stimpy, SpongeBob, like, I'm like, okay. Yeah. I'm interested now. I would like to watch this.
Really quick, Bless, someone was pointing out, I forget who in the chat, with Finji, They also, you know, it's not just Tunic. They also like had, I think, like PR for Chicory: A Colorful Tale and some other games like that. And Chicory recently came to Switch, so there's a possibility that it could come to Xbox platforms as well soon.
Yeah, that made a lot of sense, honestly. Yeah, I could see that for sure. And that'd be a really dope one to get. So yeah, tune into that stream. It is happening at 10 a.m., which is, I think, Kind of Funny Games Daily time. And so, you know, hey, maybe you know, watch Kind of Funny Games Daily, go to that later, or, you know, listen to the VOD. It doesn't matter.
Or do it at the same time.
Or do it at the same damn time. That's one that I'm curious on how we do it, because I would like to watch along, but also I know that, like, that'll mess up schedules because of Kind of Funny Games Daily. So wait and see, right? Keep an eye on Twitter, keep an eye on the Patreon post, keep an eye on what we have to say, because I might try to convince him to be like, yo, let's watch this thing. But for now, let's hop in to our last news story of the day. Story number 5, Call of Duty Warzone is officially coming to mobile. This is Ryan Dinsdale, once again from the Dinsdale Dimmadome at IGN. Activision is developing a brand new AAA mobile version of Call of Duty Warzone. In a blog post on the Call of Duty website, the company encouraged developers to join its in-house team to build a version of Warzone from the ground up for mobile. As the game isn't just a straight port, and Activision is still hiring developers to make it, Warzone on mobile likely won't see release for a while yet. Quote, this large-scale Battle Royale experience is being built natively for mobile with cutting-edge technology designed to entertain gamers around the world for many years to come. I don't know why that made me giggle a little bit. End quote. And that last part wasn't part of the quote, but this is me now ending the quote that ended earlier. It's not to be confused with Call of Duty Mobile, Activision's other mobile-based Call of Duty game that was inspired by its first Battle Royale mode called Blackout. Warzone will be developed at Activision's internal studios compared to the current mobile game, which was made by Chinese developer Tencent. So there you go. If you're a big Warzone person, there you have it. I find it, the one thing I find interesting, because I'm not like a big Call of Duty Mobile or Call of Duty Warzone person, I do find it interesting that they put out the announcement in the post because they want to hire on people to work on it. And maybe it is like a, hey, they have to do it at some point, but I do feel like the timing on this one is pretty poor with all that's been going on with Activision Blizzard. You know, like, if I saw that job post and I worked in the games industry, I'd be like, I don't know if I want to work at Activision right now. It seems like there's a lot of bullshit happening, but it also seems like this is now the go-to because the games industry, in terms of like the development side of it, is seeing kind of a lack of workforce because you might just not make as much money working video games as you would in tech or any other similar field. Because we've seen like a lot of new games now announced this way, where it is, here is Splinter Cell. Also, come work to, or come join to work on Splinter Cell. Yeah, would you like to help us finish this game? Like, we're seeing a lot of games announced like that. And so maybe this was a thing where, hey, we wanted to talk about this in November, right? We wanted to talk about this for the last 6 months, and we're finally able to put out the job post. And so it was going to happen regardless. Regardless, yeah, I look at this and I'm like, ooh, I don't know if I'd want to work for Activision Blizzard right now, but yeah. You know, a gig is a gig, I guess. I don't know.
Sure, yeah, I mean, you gotta pay the bills, but you know, it's weird timing. It's also, like you said, it's kind of become more common. Mm-hmm. I wonder how much of this is pandemic related. You know, a lot of plans have been basically destroyed by the pandemic. A lot of things have been delayed by the pandemic. Work has changed so fundamentally. Mm-hmm. How you work on a game has changed. So yeah, I'll be curious to see what this is, because I do play Call of Duty Mobile. I tinker around with that game because I'm kind of good at Call of Duty, which translates to I'm an amazing god in Call of Duty Mobile.
Oh, interesting.
There's so many players, and I use a controller, and you can just annihilate people. I go on like 50 kills.
That's a good feeling.
It's amazing.
I'm pure shit at Call of Duty. I'm so bad at that game. But like the idea of coming in and just dominating actually does appeal to me, because like I like playing Call of Duty. I'm just bad at it.
The key is the controller. It works perfectly with a controller. I have a setup where I take my phone and I slide it in there, and you'll get 50 kill streaks because you can turn and aim so much faster. So yeah, I actually play a lot of Call of Duty Mobile. So I'm curious to see what a in-house mobile Call of Duty looks like.
We do have breaking news. I know I said that was the last news story, but coming in right now, Barrett, do the sound, the breaking news sound. Breaking news: Dead Space 3 has been confirmed for early 2023.
Dead Space 3.
Dead Space 3
remake.
Did that already?
Or sorry, I don't know why I said 3. Remake. I don't know why I said Dead Space 3.
Okay.
There's been 3 Dead Space games. The next Dead Space game has been confirmed for early 2023. Sorry about that.
I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, that comes from at Dead Spaces on at Dead Spaces Twitter, where they put out just a little 15-minute video of just like the Dead Space logo with the phrase available early 2023. So there you go. You're excited for that?
I'm super pumped. I'm a huge Dead Space. I've played the major games, and I also played the mobile Dead Space game, which was like just basically a port of Dead Space 1 with a new character. Very good. Yeah, I'm super into Dead Space. So
hell yeah. Well, Zach, I can't wait to see when we get new footage of the next Dead Space game. Ooh. But a new gameplay trailer is probably just so far away. If I went and was coming out to mom and drop shops today, where would I look?
Well, the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday is your best spot.
Yeah.
I was really hoping you guys would do that because I don't actually know it by heart.
Oh, no, no, that's fine. I got it, dude. I've done the vocal practices, the vocal warm-ups. You know, I've done the work.
You're like Michael Winslow.
Exactly. Now, funny enough, you're here, Zach, because this is usually your segment where for Out Today, yeah. I'm pulling from Kotaku, article, which is this week in video games, right? Where you do the breakdown of here's all the games that are coming out this week. Funny enough, you come on the day where I don't have your breakdown because again, you've been on vacation, there's been a strike going on at Kotaku, and like you've not had this post up for the last 2 weeks, and so I've been in shambles. Right, Out Today's been in shambles trying to get things together, but I do have a couple of games for you. WWE 2K22 is out today for PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and PC. And then Craft Hero Prologue, the demo, is now live on Steam. We have one new date for you. Alvo, the VR 5v5 online shooter game, is set to release on Oculus Quest 2 on March 17th. Zach, when is Out Today coming back? Yeah, when is the This Week in Video Games coming back?
This weekend.
Hell yeah.
Back. I am back to work. I am no longer on strike, and I am no longer on vacation. So it will be back to its glorious original state. You'll have your huge list of terrible Steam releases and everything else. So
now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, where you write in, let us know what you got wrong as you got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on listening later on podcast services around the globe. Nana writes in and say, Somerville is made by Jumpship, which is an independent game studio founded around an original IP by Chris Olsey, built in collab with ex-CEO and co-founder of Playdead, Dino Patty. So there you go. And then I think that's it, because we got this, right? Cult of the Lamb has been announced for Xbox, which I already knew, but this is me talking about like stuff that could come back around to be re-revealed, sure. Right? Or given a release date, right? Like, I think sky's the limit in terms of the info that we can receive at this Xbox event. And then...
Did I get anything wrong?
You nailed it. You got nothing wrong.
Bam. That's that.
And then Nana Riot writes in with Miss News, and I'll give it to Nano. Loodle now supports 6-letter words.
Oh. Okay.
Appreciate that. Bold move. I wouldn't have called that one.
I mean, there are only so many 5-letter lewd words, you know?
True.
It gives them a bigger space to be creative.
Bear, what's your favorite 6-letter lewd word? While you think about that, let me tell people about next week's host. On Monday, you're getting me and Tim. On Tuesday, you're getting Snow, Michael, and Gary Witta. On Wednesday, you're getting me and Andy. On Thursday, you're getting Tim and Tim for Tim TM Thursdays. Then on Friday, it is Greg and me. I haven't hosted a Games Daily with Greg in what feels like literally a year. And so I hope that happens because I miss him. You know, I miss doing Games Daily with Greg. If you're watching this live right now on Twitch, after this, again, is Community Podcast Day. That's where Greg is going to sit down with a bunch of community members to host guest hosts on their podcast. That is happening throughout the day right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Barrett, you figured it out yet? Favorite 6-letter lewd word?
Shout out to Price 412. This one just made me chuckle. Wiener.
Ooh, wiener is really good.
That's a good one.
I guess
really
you... good. Nipple?
Nipple's a good
one. Yeah, that works.
Right? Yeah.
Nipple's
yeah.
a great one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like Mystery Asman is creative here because I wouldn't have thought of this one, but I guess in some context it is lewd, right? Tickle.
Oh. Tickling's not lewd unless you do it in the wrong place or the right place.
Or the right place. Igloo Squid in chat says pee pee. A lot of great suggestions. PP's
a good.
Right,
PP's a very good.
PP is a great one. I'll give you one more. I got one more for you.
Okay.
Gym Leader Phil in chat says pooper.
Pooper. That's a good one. And then the last one I'll shout out, because this might be my favorite one. Asshat.
Asshat is a great one. Also, yeah. Okay, we gotta continue, because chat is actually throwing out a lot of fucking great ones. We ain't got time for that. I think fucking might be a great one. No, that doesn't
fit. That's five.
That's like...
Exclamation mark.
Like seven.
Third exclamation mark. Yeah, that is seven.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot more letters.
I write for a living. I write for a living. I should know this.
With a fuck with a Y at the end.
Oh. Mm.
Yeah.
I see. It's orgasm. That's a six-letter word. Anyway, Zach, thank you so much for joining me right here on Kinda Funny Games Daily. Where can people find your work?
Kotaku.com. I'm always there, especially on the weekends. You can also visit Zach.place. That's my main website where you can find everything I've ever done. Unless that's bad, then I don't have it there because I hide it. Because it's. But yeah, so those are the two spots. And also, I'm on Twitter. Zwiezenz. Zwiezenz. It's long. It's weird. But yeah.
But it works out. Zwiezenz. Is this your last name?
It's my last name. First initial of a Z. Yeah, I'm on Twitter there. I just hit 2,000 followers. Very exciting times.
Hell yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining me here. I can't wait to do PS Level with you so we can talk and hear out all about GTA Online. Again, that is happening next week, Monday for Patreon, Tuesday for everybody. So tune in for that so we can talk all about GTA and you can listen and we can have a good time. And then we're also going to stream some GTA. I don't think Zach will be joining us. Maybe we'll have you on the comms if you want to come through. You're definitely invited. But I think it is going to be me, Greg, Mike, and we'll see who comes through. I'm going to try and convince Janet. Maybe we get Kevin, but we'll have to wait and see on that.
It'll be nice because I'll have more than 20 minutes of prep for this one.
Zach, I do want you to spend your weekend just like thinking of like the GTA Online starter.
Yeah.
I can't wait for you to break it down for us on PSLW. But Zach, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time. Game Daily.